You're listening to Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, voice of the resistance on the WEED Radio Network.
The murderers keep murdering. The churches keep a burning. The rapists keep a raping. And the tide ain't turning. Uncle Sam, for all your power, things get worse every hour. It seems to me your energy's a wasting, chasing my friends and me. So hey, Uncle Sam, hey there, Uncle Sam, leave us pot smokers alone. Keep terrorizing, our leaders keep a lying, the haters keep a hating, and the planet's dying. Uncle Sam, do what's proper, call off your dogs and your helicopters. The problems of society were not caused by my friends and me. Of Mother Nature never made nobody violent, never made nobody hate nobody or break nobody's peace. It's never been shown to be harmful. Don't you tell me no lies with your caffeine, codeine, nicotine eyes. The cannabis ban is just recent, just since 1938, to re-legalize it, realize it. You made a big mistake.
Hey, Uncle Sam!
Hey there, Uncle Sam!
Rock Radio and the WEED Radio Network serves only to air responsible divergent points of view. Hemp Rock Radio does endorse some candidates or groups of candidates for public office. The opinions expressed during this program reflect the views and opinions of Hemp Rock Radio or the views of our guests. Hemp Rock Radio may air material that's offensive or unsuitable to some listeners. If you are one of those listeners, please tune away now, smoke a joint, and then return to Hemp Rock Radio.
Music, medicine, clothing, cooking, and much, much more. WEED offers a variety of shows related to marijuana. So stay tuned and see what weed can do for you.
All right. Welcome. This is Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress, voice of the resistance, here on the WEED Radio Network. And the opening song, of course, was From the Toys with Hey Uncle Sam, Leave Us Pot Smokers Alone. Today's show, of course, is dedicated to the Reefer Madness, the musical. Our guest today, we have Megan Venson in from the No Theater in downtown Cincinnati here in the studio, and Dan Studney on the line will be part of that interview. He is the co-writer of Reefer Madness, the musical. So you want to stay tuned, listen in, because it's a great interview. You'll have lots of fun, and don't forget, it is down at the No Theater through November 14th. The Reefer Madness, the musical. It's a lot of fun. Seen it. It's great. It's great. You'll love it. Just make sure you get there. And for those that are hemp rockers and you live in Cincinnati, of course now, if you go and you tell them you're a hemp rocker and you either heard it from us or saw it from us somewhere, you will get a free drink at the bar prior to the show. You just have to show them your ticket and let them know that you're a hemp rocker. Also, on November 9th, Hemp Rock Radio and the Ohio Patient Network is doing a hosting for that day. It's a Sunday matinee, 4 o'clock, and we are telling everybody, if you're going to go, that's the day to go for sure, because we're all going to be there, and we're all going to have a lot of fun, and you never know what else you might get when you go there for that day. But definitely stay tuned, and check out the interview coming up. The song I'm going to go into is the opening song from Reefer Madness, the musical. And I believe there might be another one after that, too. So stay tuned, check out the great music, and then check out the fantastic interview with Megan Benson and Dan Studney, and, of course, my sidekick, Rob Bryan, from Ohio Patient Network. So come back, and we'll touch base a little bit after the interview.
The presentation you are about to witness may startle you. It would not have been possible otherwise to sufficiently emphasize the frightful toll of the new drug menace which is destroying the youth of America in alarmingly increasing numbers. Marijuana is that drug, a violent narcotic, an unspeakable scourge. The real public enemy, number one.
Like a communist, it's knocking at our doors, turning all our children into hooligans and whores, voraciously devouring the way things are today, savagely deflowering the good old USA. It's Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness.
Madness, Reefer Madness.
Oh, so mad. See the kids, precious kids. Yes, their heads are on the chopping block, and someone's got to dare to take a stand. Can't ignore anymore. It could be your son or daughter with a deadly stick of reefer in their hand. They're heading straight for
Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness. Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness.
Save our kids. Stealthy as a socialist, it slithers up our shores, turning all our children into hooligans and whores. This smoking bowl of evil bears the choking stench of sin. It burrows like a weevil under tender Christian skin. This
Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness. Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness.
Oh, so mad. Pull the wool from your eyes. We're in need of righteous soldiers, for this merry wonder has to be destroyed. Fight the urge of this scourge. It's seductive and it's deadly.
So some drastic measures need to be employed
to put an end to
Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness. Reefer Madness,
Democrats that empty out our stores, turning all our children into hooligans and whores. Teenagers across the land are glazed and oversexed. If you fail to draw the line, your babies will be next.
Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness. Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness.
Oh, so mad. Tell your children the menace, kill the devil, save the country.
Madness, 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 madness. Reapers made us crazy, barking.
Mad!
Let me light your cigarette for you there, Sally.
Oh, this isn't a cigarette. It's a real smoke. Reefer, let's share it.
No, I shouldn't. It's been great meeting you folks, but I really ought to be heading back to the Five and Dime. Mary's probably waiting for me there.
Oh, I didn't think you were such a square. Or are you afraid?
I'm not either.
Prove it! Come on, Jimmy, come on, Jimmy, suck it down for Sally. Come on, Jimmy, suck it down for Sally.
Thank you, Sally, but I honestly don't think it's such a good idea.
Come on, Jimmy, suck it down for Sally. Come on, Jimmy, suck it down for Sally.
I don't know if I should. You got me all confused.
Take it to the teaser. Take it to the teaser. Take it to the teaser. Take it to the teaser.
Hey, this is the Happy Hemptress, voice of the resistance, and you've just tuned into Hemp Rock Radio on the WEED Radio Network. And I am in the studio and on the phone with a few great guests today.
On the phone from LA is Dan Studney, co-writer of Reefer Madness the Musical. We'll talk about what's going on with what he did with Reefer Madness. And also here in the studio is Megan. And what was the last name, Megan?
It's Venzin.
Venzin, that's right. Megan Venzin, she is one of the people from the No Theater down in Cincinnati, here in Cincinnati. Now, what we're going to be discussing here this evening is not only a little bit of the history of Reefer Madness, the original movie, but, and I forgot, we... Those are the guests. You're the sidekick, Rob.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me talk about the ads when they come in.
I do have a co-host sitting here, and an engineer as well. Colonel Cannabis is on the mixer, and Rob Ryan from the Ohio Patient Action Network is sitting here as well. We'll be talking to him along with Megan and Dan. Again, we are here to discuss the history of Reefer Madness, the original movie, as well as Reefer Madness, the musical, and how it's ended up in Cincinnati at the No Theater. And we'll go ahead and discuss some of the past history of Reefer Madness with Dan. Now, for those that have never seen or heard of the movie, Reefer Madness was a 1936 film, otherwise known as Tell Your Children. It was a 1936 exploitation film put together by a church group to scare the living daylights out of everybody against cannabis and marijuana. And to teach everybody the scourge of marijuana and how it made kids axe their parents and murder their parents and rape women and all sorts of crazy things. I have to say, Dan, I'm very curious, before we move on, what enticed you and your partner, Kevin Murphy, to take this old film and turn it into a musical?
We were in San Francisco.
That's a good place to start.
A movie. And we were driving back down to Los Angeles, and we were listening to Frank Zappa's Joe's Garage at the time. And something in the song, one of the songs, made us think about Reefer, and just popped into my head. I was like, what about Reefer Madness as a musical? And there was a big long pause, and my partner Kevin Murphy said, well, how come nobody's never done that as a musical? That's pretty amazing. Let's look into that. By the time we had gotten back down to L.A., we had written the first song, actually.
So you say it had to do with Frank Zappa, huh? That's
it
pretty
did,
funny.
Actually. It was Joe's Garage. What was happening was I was imagining that, actually, out here in California, there's actually a production of Joe's Garage. This was kind of my idea 10 years ago, like what would happen if we staged Joe's Garage. So I was imagining, you know, a rock and roll band on stage and what kind of actors you would need. And all of a sudden there was some line, I don't remember what the line was or what the song was, but there was some line that reminded us of Reefer. And I was like, I heard the word Reefer, whatever. I looked at, you know, in my mind, I'm looking at a stage full of singers and dancers and a rock band. And I was just like, Reefer Madness as a musical, that would be like ultra hip and very fun.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, it is a lot of fun. So now,
yeah, I mean, the evolution from there was that we had both seen the movie in college, and we sort of very quickly went and grabbed copies of it when we got back to L.A., looked up, you know, to see if the rights were encumbered in any way, which was a nightmare, but we can get into that later. and then we started to research, we watched the movie, and then we started to research the time period, and we became aware for the very first time exactly how marijuana was criminalized in the first place, and that started intriguing us. So it started out as something that we thought would be fun and hip and silly, started to get pretty serious for us. We started to see that there was a lot of racism involved, and a lot of big business involved, a lot of government involved, a lot of collusion between government and big business, and William Randolph Hearst, Lamont DuPont, all that stuff that I'm sure your listeners probably have heard about before. If not, I'm happy to discuss it.
Absolutely. Well, that's really what Reefer Madness was for people who don't know what it was. It was a propaganda film, as I said earlier, and what Dan's saying, back in 1936, prior to the year that marijuana and cannabis was, well, they made a tax act against it, which in essence made it illegal.
I think it was 1937.
Exactly, 1937.
So the movie preceded the tax act.
Exactly. That was part of the propaganda scam before they outlawed it.
There was a man named Harry J. Anslinger who features into the musical in name only, of course.
Yes.
That ran around the country with what they called a gore file, and they just took pictures of like autopsies and like bad car accidents, and they made up stories about here's a picture of a woman who was decapitated because her son smoked marijuana, and they went around to groups and schools and places and started showing people this gore file, started scaring the bejesus out of everybody.
And boy did they, and just so people, it's hard for some people to see it, although now I know that they've colorized the film recently and it's on DVD and people can get it. But as you made a comment of, you had seen it first when you were in college, and that's really where it took off. It was a very short run thing in 1936 with the propaganda, the old black and white church film. Unknown actors played the part, and as you guys have completely, wonderfully portrayed in the musical, one young guy...
Some of them had a career. Some of those actors.
Yes, they did, yes. Unknown at the time, though. Not very well known to most people. And that was, I think, the trick for that was so people didn't think of them as actors portraying. They were unknown people that most people didn't recognize. Therefore, that had more impact on people to think that they're just regular people that are crazy on marijuana, you know.
We actually became very friendly with the woman that played May, the lead female in the movie,
really?
Selma White. We became friendly with her. She came to the show in Los Angeles a couple of times. She's since passed away. She was a lovely woman. She was, I believe, the last surviving cast member of the show and of the movie. She came out a lot and was very supportive of the project. And she told us that that the original film was made by this church group, and then some exploitation producer came in and took over the film and then inserted like very salacious shots of like women putting on stockings for for 30 seconds and things that at the time were sexy and shocking and salacious, and they sort of sexed it up a bit to bring it out into the roadshow circuit.
Exactly.
So the men in trench coats could walk in and say, "Oh, I'm going to go see this educational film," and then watch people cavort around, half naked and doing crazy sex things.
Exactly. Well, in essence, in that period of time, as we've stated, that definitely helped scare the American public into allowing the Tax Act to pass the following year in 1937.
It was an aid.
I'm sorry?
It was an aid to... It was an aid to this...
Along with many other films of that nature, as a matter of fact. This was just this is the most notorious. But there's a... I have one also in our catalog. Oh, I'm going to forget what
it's
called.
Assassin of Youth?
Yes, thank you. That's the one. Marijuana with an H.
By the way, Dan, that's how we spell it here in Ohio.
Yes.
It's marijuana.
All the laws.
In California, we spell Ohio with a J in the middle.
Oh, get out of here. No way. It's Ohio.
We have a place called Ohio.
Right. Yeah, we are Ohio. Oh. With H-I-G-H in the middle of the O's, of course.
Hey, getting back to your the original play, you opened up in L.A., right?
Yes, we did.
Was it a big success at the time, or was it supposed to just a short run play?
It was unbelievable. It was. We did a reading of it in 1998, I think, in December. We spent a lot of time casting it. I think correctly, we took our time with that, and we did a 3-night reading of it at the Hudson Backstage Theater in Los Angeles, and the response was so overwhelming that we kept the cast and we jumped right into rehearsals at the start of the year in January, and then opened it in April for what was supposed to be, I think, a 6-week or a 10-week I forget now, but it's like a 6 or a 10 week run, you know, 4 shows a week. And it just kept extending and extending and extending, and it won just about every award you can win in Los Angeles, and it attracted the interest of producers from New York, and then we actually shut the show down at the height of its popularity and brought a new choreographer, and we brought Paula Abdul in.
For choreography?
What's that?
For choreography, correct?
Yeah, yes. It was her first New York stage show, and it's... We brought her in, and we wrote like 4 or 5 new songs, and we sort of just shut down. We kept the rental on the theater that we were in, and we re-rehearsed it, and we redid some of the numbers, and we did sort of a backers audition for the Nederlanders and for Verna Hera of Hera's Casinos, and they got together and bought the rights to do it off Broadway, and then eventually we spent about a year waiting for the theater to become available.
Oh.
I don't know if you know the New York scene, but it's very difficult to get a theater.
Just
and
to get
only
a theater.
Two at the time off Broadway that were suitable for our purposes. There were only the Variety Arts, which is no longer there, which is where we did it.
Wow.
And Union Square Theater were the only, you know, good sized theaters for it. So we had to wait for one of those two things to open up. So finally, the Variety Arts opened up. And it became available for a run in September of 2001.
And so how long did it actually...
I don't know anything about September of 2001, but that was a very fun place to be in downtown New York.
Not a very good place. So how long did it actually run in New York on Off-Broadway?
I don't know, 6 weeks. I think it ran like 3 weeks of previews and 3 weeks of actual, you know, opened show.
And then, of course, now you have it on DVD.
Well, what happened was we... shut down the show, and that night, actually, the night we got the news we were going to shut down the show, I just started writing, okay, fade in, you know, I started writing the screenplay that night and said, oh, well, you know, everybody's been wanting us to make a movie of this for a long time. We had a lot of interest. We had a lot of big names that wanted to buy it as a movie, and we were like, well, we don't want to just do the movie. We wanted to run its course as a stage show first, so we sort of said no to all the offers, and so then we were, you know, the stage show, you know, died during all that business, and then we wrote the screenplay, got the cast back together. We got the, sort of like the dream cast back together. We had added Kristen Bell in New York as Mary, and we brought her in, and a lot of the LA cast and the original band, and we did a big 2-night reading of the screenplay version. And that's when Bob Greenblatt from Showtime came and bought it. And so that's when we started in 2000. That was 2003. And then 2004, we started shooting the movie, which came out in 2005, I believe.
Getting back to, you mentioned Paula Abdul did the choreography and changed, I think, the orgy, if I'm reading here correctly.
Yeah, that was the biggest change, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of choreography.
Now, one thing I don't understand is, where is that marijuana today? You know, I look at that event, and it's like, I don't remember that kind of marijuana.
what kind of marijuana?
All those sex craze orgies going on, it's like, where was I?
Well, this is the hypothetical marijuana that, you know, that we've been talking about since the beginning of this interview. This is the marijuana that never really did exist.
I don't think it's ever going to exist, no matter how many times they try to make it stronger. And, you know, of course, the pot today is 30 times stronger than it was when they made the Reefer Madness film, supposedly. So you would think that there'd be orgies in the street today.
God, where are they?
Hey, well, they are in California. I don't know.
Well, that's probably, you're probably absolutely correct. And more so in San Francisco, I bet.
Well,
that was the S&M festival last weekend. We just missed that one.
Did you hear what she said, Dan?
I did not. What was that?
She said she just missed the S&M festival last week.
But that's the real deal.
And it was a real deal.
San Francisco. It was in San Francisco last weekend.
Hey, talking about Cincinnati, these guys at the No Theater put out a tremendous amount of energy, and they did your play excellently.
And so I've heard.
They did a really good job.
No. We just opened last weekend.
By the time this gets on the air?
I'm going to try to get this edited but before the weekend gets started again. And that's something we'll talk to Megan about. You're starting it this weekend, which is the first part of October. How long will that run and how many weekends?
Yeah, well, we opened last weekend. We had our opening night that was September 20th with a Saturday and then a Sunday matinee. Then we shut down for Midpoint Music Festival, and now we're back up.
You opened on September 20th?
We did open on September 20th.
That's twice as good as 420.
It is. It's 8:20, so we didn't think that at the time.
Actually,
but it's
not. It's 9:20.
It's
you guys are stoned.
It's more than double. but it was great, and we're going to be running through November 14th. So this is our longest run of the season. We thought we'd kick off the season with a good sell, and everyone's really excited about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Now, what I want to know is, I was looking at the schedule. There's some weekends that you're doing Thursday. Some weekends you're not. Some weekends you're not doing a Saturday. It kind of flip-flops a little bit, doesn't it, between now and the end?
Well, we're going to be running in rep with another world premiere. Well, I guess this one's not, but we're doing all premieres this year, so we took a chance to do a world premiere. It's called Militant Language, and that one's going to be going on and off. So
kind of in between.
Yeah, it's an alternate. It's our first year doing a repertory schedule, so we're going to see
awesome.
How it works out.
Hey, Megan, you want to tell us a little bit how you came to choose Reefer Madness, the musical?
Yeah, actually, I'm new to the company, but I've heard our artistic director talk about it enough. His name is Jason Bruffy, and he's just a fantastic guy. He's really, really interested in doing new works. He wants to do stuff that other people are kind of still a little scared to touch. And this was something that kind of sparked his eye, especially during the years of a big political debate. Because marijuana, just like anything else, whether it be homosexuality or war times, is a hotbed issue, and he thought that it would be fun to bring something in that makes people think. And I mean, this is a lot of it's purely entertainment, but it's still at the heart of it. There's that social core, and he just wanted to bring it to people.
Didn't have the Obama book going into the trash.
Yeah, we did feature the audacity of hope in the book burning at the end. So, the audacity of hope definitely goes into our fires.
That sounds appropriate to me.
Yeah. Now, I do want to mention this. We had talked off the microphone before we got started, Megan, about some people thinking that now the No Theater is promoting legalization of marijuana.
No, they're not. And they're promoting entertainment.
Well, I mean, besides the social aspect of what the producer was thinking and the people from the No Theater, that really isn't your aim. Your aim is to get dialogue talking about politics and what
exactly.
have you. Explain, for people that may or may not know what's going on about the No Theater, explain that part of it so people understand that.
Well, our company is about 11 years old, and in the past couple of years, it's really shot off. And one of the biggest parts of our mission is to bring theater that's relevant and that is going to spark dialogue in the community. And where we are located in the Over the Rhine community, which is such a mixed income neighborhood, and you're meeting different people, we want to take issues that actually matter to those people. There's other theaters in town that are doing shows like Les Mis, and I mean, they're great, but people have seen them a million times, and it's not making people come out and talk afterwards, whereas we're doing new pieces, hot new pieces that actually give people something to think about.
Well, I think we should invite City Council. Dan, I'm not sure if you're aware, is it 3 years ago now? 05 was the first year, so this is 08, so we have now had,
into the second year.
We're into
the second year of the
third year. I think
Cincinnati's getting tough on marijuana, but it's actually quite backfired on them because
it has.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. What are you saying? What's happening for the last 5 years?
What's happened in Cincinnati, Dan, is although Ohio is a decrim state, and if you get caught with 99 grams or less in one baggie in most of the state of Ohio, it's only a payout ticket of about $150. We had that passed right around the time that Reefer Madness movie originally came back out in the 70s, about 1971. Then, you got feedback again, Gary. Cut. All right. Let's resume. About 2005, although the first year, he's right, the first year it did not pass, we stopped them in City Council in June of 05. One year later, though, they came back with a retired police officer who made it onto city council, and they pushed through in summer of 06, so we're just now going into our third year, of having a new law on the books of Cincinnati. Now, this is just within the city limits. They have taken it and turned it into a, I believe, a fourth-degree felony now, or I'm sorry,
right,
fourth-degree misdemeanor. Either way, now you can be arrested. It used to be just a payout ticket, and you could be sent on your way. Now you will be arrested within the city of Cincinnati limits. If you get caught with any amount, it could be a seed, could be a roach, any amount, you will be arrested and taken to jail and then have to be bailed out. And then can be fined up to a $250 fine and given up to 30 days in jail now. That is only in the city of Cincinnati. There are two other small cities north in Ohio that has a similar thing that I think one is automatic 3 days. What have you. Anyway, Cincinnati, the difference between Cincinnati and the rest of the state is we're in Hamilton County. In Hamilton County, we are the only county where the judges do not revoke driver's license, whereas the rest of the state of Ohio's counties do because it's a state law. So in one respect, they don't want to take your license, but in another respect, and that's the county. In the city, though, now they want to throw you in jail. So we have our own little reefer madness going on here in the city of Cincinnati, and that's why I say to Megan and the No Theater, you guys should do a personal invite to Councilman Cecil Thomas and the rest of the cohorts that passed the reefer madness law in this town. We need to invite them because, you know, here we have California and other about 13 other states total, I guess, 13 total with California, that are progressive, as you know. You're out in California, Dan. You know how the medical is out there. We are going backwards. We're, you know, reefer madness is perfect for Cincinnati right now.
Sometimes Lynn is a little bit of gloom and doom. You know, the reality now has turned on them because friends of mine, okay, found the state law that says if a legislative body, we're getting off topic of the reefer madness.
That's
musical,
all right. Go ahead.
But essentially, they found a state law that says if you have a local legislative body that passes a law more tougher than the state, then you pay for that law. You pay for the incarceration, you pay for the judgment, you pay for the enforcement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And recently, the city of Cincinnati put out $250,000, right, because of this law, and then a couple days later, they got a bill for $30,000, and they're starting to rethink.
To pay the county, you mean, for housing, because
right.
It's the county jail, so if anybody gets arrested, and Dan, the first year, there were over 5,000 people arrested under the first year of that ordinance, and 93% of them were black people.
Well, I mean, I think that should tell you something. That's the racism that started all of this, which was anti-Mexican, anti-black, and anti-Arab and anti-Chinese,
exactly,
is still with us. I think, you know, it's a good way to, you know, wow, what do they like to do? Let's see, what do they like to do?
Exactly.
Do this.
And that is what
illegal.
That is what some of the racist undertones of the original reefer madness was. And, you know, supposedly profiling is not allowed, but what Cincinnati Council did in effect was pass a law that allows profiling. They even stated in the hearings, we're not going to go after the average pot smoker. We're only going after those guys on the corner selling drugs that have the guns because our decrim law keeps the cops from searching people. So we have to be able to arrest them in order to find the guns on the street, and we can arrest them under marijuana charges.
But that didn't work.
Well, that was their reasoning, though, and that's why the council believed the lie and passed it. Although anybody in their right mind that works in anything along the line of reform knows that all they really need is probable cause, and today the probable cause can be simply suspicion, and that's enough to search somebody. So they didn't really need this law to do the searching, but they used it, and it's in print. This is, you know, every statement that was said to the press was, we need to find the guns. And, of course, it had to do with all the guys selling on the corners, and, you know, that's a profiling law that they put into effect,
basically.
Let's
get back to the reefer madness. Is it true that Karl Rove had a fundraiser using the reefer madness at the Republican Club of his college?
He suggested it. I have that in front of me, Rob. Actually, it says, in 1973, a young Karl Rove, then on his way to becoming the chairman of the College Republicans, suggested in a memorandum to President Nixon's counselor, Ann Armstrong, that they should show non-political films for fundraising, such as John Wayne films and Reefer Madness. Now, it doesn't say whether they actually did that. It just said that they were trying to raise support for the Republican Party among the students.
Hmm.
Now, whether or not they actually did that, I don't
know. Karl Rove.
Are you aware of whether
madness.
Dan, are you aware of whether or not Karl Rove ever followed through on that and actually used it?
First time hearing of that. That's interesting.
That
call
was put
him
out.
Up.
Yeah, that, let's call Carl and ask him. That was
Carl. You got any reefer?
That's a statement out of the Wikipedia for the Reefer Madness. Now, on that note, very quickly, we did not get to have Keith Strop on this evening. He said he's too old. And he didn't want to do a late recording, so we'll get him sometime in the future. Keith Strop, as some of you know, is the founder of National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Normal.
Yes, for Normal. And as he told me recently in a conversation, New Line Cinemas, as you know, got the rights and reissued this in the 70s and had shown it a few times and then invited him to come speak at one of the showings on a campus. And it was such a big hit that he started making it a regular routine. And that's
part of his shtick.
That became his shtick with Normal.
Yeah,
and
he didn't actually get the rights because, as we found out after much legal research, the rights were unencumbered. That was what made it so profitable, is that you could find a print of that movie and show it without paying anybody anything.
Wow. Yeah, he didn't say that he just took it around and would show it along with the speaking engagements, and that kind of added that to the scene of the college students in the 70s.
My understanding is that that's actually what bankrolled New Line Cinema to begin with. That's what started that company.
Yes, I think so. Yes, that's exactly correct, and then they are a lot bigger today as a result.
Some of them came to us during the LA run of the show, and they were like, when it comes time to do the movie, you know, we'll release the movie because we own this. And we were like, I don't think you do.
No one does. Yeah.
And it turned out they actually didn't?
No, they didn't. No, here's the irony of the whole situation. We had to spend, we had to do it three different times. We did it once for the LA show to make sure we were okay to do it. Once when we went to New York, the Needle Editors wanted more proof, more whatever, and so we had, you know, eight managers and lawyers, people, you know, combing through old lawsuits and Variety and figuring all this stuff. Everybody's been laying claim to this movie since it came out. The copyright laws were very different when the movie first came out. You actually had to register it. Nobody ever registered it. They just made the movie. Now it's automatic. You put out a movie, it's automatically registered, you know, copywritten.
Right.
But in the old days, it wasn't, and so we had to pay all this money, way more money than we ever had to have paid the original, you know, producers of the movie. If we were able to find them, we probably would have, you know, it probably would have been like $1,500 instead. It cost like $50,000 to do all this crazy research on it. And then when it came time to do the Showtime movie, which was co-financed by a German company, and it was, you know, going to have a worldwide distribution on film and on DVD and all, we had to do it a third time to make sure that we were in compliance with international copyright.
Wow.
Now this is kind of like It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, well, my understanding of that is that the film's in public domain, but the music is not.
Ah.
Yeah, the music is yours.
You have to pay the music royalties on it.
Yeah, now the music is yours, right?
Oh, in Reefer Madness. I'm talking about It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay. Oh, right, okay. Right. But now with Reefer Madness, so the music and the script that you guys put together for the musical is your stuff, yours and Kevin's. Isn't that that's separate?
Anything unique to our version, it belongs to us.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and it's based on the original property, which is in the public domain.
Right.
Well, going back to Normal for just a minute, you know that the Normal conference is going to be held, two or three weeks from now up in California?
Yeah.
I hope you come.
Where is it being held?
In Berkeley, on the 17th or 18th.
Wow, I will actually be in New York during that period of time. I have some news, I guess. We are at long last releasing the soundtrack album.
Oh, wonderful.
Really?
Of Reefer Madness. It's another nightmare trying to get that out. But finally, it's being released. Ghostlight Records and Chickaboom, and it's a great boutique Broadway label, and we're doing a concert at Joe's Pub, which is Joseph Papp's Public Theater's cabaret space.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a big Broadway Monday night type cabaret space, and so we're gonna the day before the album is released, we're doing a big concert there with a lot of people from the movie and the stage show.
That's wonderful. Fun. So now, when
I'll be up there rehearsing that and performing that.
When do you expect that to come out?
That's October 27th.
Wonderful.
It's just a one-night-only thing. It's 11:30 at night. And I think the album comes out officially the next day.
The next day. Now, where will people be able to purchase that if they're interested?
Oh, I'm sure in all the traditional places.
Okay, like regular.
It's going to be a double. It'll be a double album. It's
okay.
It's a reissue of the LA Cast album.
Wonderful.
Which has been selling. We only made a limited number of copies, so people have been paying upwards of $200 a copy for that thing, like on Amazon and to buy them like used, and there's a finite number. It's become kind of a collector's item, so we were like, we can't do that to the fans. So we're making a big 2-disc collector set of the movie soundtrack and the re-release of LA.
As well you should. As well you should. That's wonderful. Well, if you had a choice, first of all, how many songs are actually on the performance in the DVD or CD, whichever?
On the CD?
Yeah.
The CD will include, I think it's like 16 songs from the movie.
Okay.
From beginning to end, and then the however many there are in the LA version plus the cut songs, all the bonus tracks that were originally included on the. It's a big CD. It's a nice color booklet. It's many, many pages long, and there's all kinds of goodies on it.
And do you have any favorites yourself?
Favorite songs?
Yeah, yourself. I have a copy of it, and I want to get some of these cuts in the show that we're doing and let people hear some of the cuts off of it. So if you were to recommend three or four, what would your favorites be?
Well, I think my favorites and the ones which probably would play out of context are probably two different things. First of all, I should say they're all like children. It's hard to pick a favorite.
Yes, I understand.
But I think the ones that tend to play out of context are the opening number for Madness. Romeo and Juliet, weirdly enough, which is the second song of the show, tends to get done a lot out of context as well. I think a lot of kids in Shakespeare class, honestly enough, do it and things like that. And the stuff is also a good one out of context.
The stuff.
Yeah.
That was great.
People also like the Brownie song. I don't know why. It's 60 seconds long. It's really silly.
That was a big hit at the No Theater when they brought out the Brownie.
Yeah.
It's just cardboard, just like all the other prop pieces. It's great.
Well, now not everything is cardboard. They are smoking stuff, but it's not the illegal kind.
500 joints we have to roll for the run of the
I don't know.
Isn't that just a bear? That's a bear to deal with.
Oh, our stage manager, she's also our props designer. She's like been rolling joints from dawn till dusk.
Now,
day.
Does she have a joint roller to make it easy?
She did.
She said the prop girl bought a joint roller. It makes it easier.
Sure, it came in handy for some other things as well.
Well, now you've got to get Hemp Rock to contribute or something.
I've got lots of legal herb left over from our spring rally, the Damiana.
I don't know. I was thinking about intermissions or something.
Now, that's another topic. Absolutely. You were going to say something, Dan?
No, not at all. I was a...
What's the future of Reefer Madness, the musical? Are you guys going to hit Europe or what?
Yes, actually. There's a production coming up in London. There was just one in Australia. We licensed the show through Rodgers and Hammerstein Theatricals.
Oh, that's awesome.
RNH.com. That was a fun story. They're kind of a stalwart, blue chip, wonderfully old school.
Yeah, kind of mainstream.
And they recently they've been trying to make their, to bring their catalog, up into the 21st century. And Reefer was the first new thing that they acquired. And so they've been lovely. They're wonderful. I'm sure that you've had to deal with them there in Cincinnati.
Well, I just think it's wonderful that
I hope your experience was as good as it is on my end.
Yeah, it's been all right.
Well, that's good to hear. Simply just because it is a kind of an old school, as you point out, been around kind of conservative kind of business as far as they go, and for them to take something like this that in some people's eyes might make people think that they're pushing legalization.
To be honest with you, there was some concern. There was a lot of going back and forth before we actually signed the deal with them. They were very concerned about you know that the exact thing, and then
their
also
image.
What's that?
Their image.
Yes, and they were you know and they were also concerned about the racial elements in the show.
Yeah.
We wound up on a kind of a compromise was that we've included, I don't think anybody's ever used them, and I hope they never do, but we actually included a couple of, like they do with Grease, you know, where in the original version there's
the
lines about
lines.
Pussy wagon, and then there's a little asterisk at the bottom that says dragon wagon, you know. Like,
dragon wagon.
And there's also, we legally, the productions are required to put a disclaimer at the beginning, you know, in the advertisements of the thing, saying that this, you know, what the show features and stuff, you know, and the people. I think when you agree to do the show, I think you have to agree to be 18, you know, to have your cast members be 18 or something like that. There's a bunch of like little rules that one presumably has to follow. I think things like this, though, to be honest with you, if I'm a 16-year-old kid looking for a good time at the theater on a Friday night, and I see something going, this is a show that features simulated acts of sex and drug crazed abandon, you know, like, you know, parents and parents, be warned.
Yeah, be warned, that's going to make them want to come in.
I honestly think it might have the opposite effect, but...
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but it's, you know, they do care, and they have a great big audience, people that they've worked with over many, many years, the relationship with schools and community theaters, and, you know, they don't just want to throw it out there without telling people this is a different thing than South Pacific, you know.
Exactly. Well, now, Rob has a postcard from the No Theater here, the picture of a little boy that is in the poster, I think.
Oh, my God. Little children.
Tell us the story about that,
Megan.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen any. Have you seen our images, Dan? Have you checked it out on the website at all?
I have not.
Okay.
Oh, we're going to have to send you.
Well, yeah, I'll have to shoot them to you. Well, this year we decided our concept for all of our season images, well, part of the reason was because our actors weren't here yet. Our resident company didn't come till September, but we used children in every picture. So, yeah, we have some pretty provocative stuff. We've got one of our busty ladies hanging over him with a burning joint. It's a little 5-year-old boy dressed up like Jimmy. We actually found a Packard, too, which was cool. One of our donors owns a Packard, so we got
that's awesome.
In the picture. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I'll send it on to you.
I would love to see those.
Now, there was an issue, though, with his mother, correct?
Oh, yeah. We actually had to put a cigarette above the head and then Photoshop a joint. What the difference is there, I don't know. It still looks like a joint, but I guess they felt better knowing that...
Even though what you were using wasn't marijuana.
No,
it was legal to begin with.
Exactly.
It's okay to have the kid smoking a cigarette.
No. Let me correct that.
There's a woman in the car behind the kid, and that's who's holding the cigarette. Yeah.
I thought it was that she didn't want any smoking, and they photoshopped the light and the smoke.
No. It was that they didn't want a reefer-like object to be dangled above their 6-year-old's head.
You know, it's not unlike what happened to us when we released the DVD. We were all ready to go out with the artwork, which was very classy. It was very, it was like Harrell style photography, and it was really very, I thought, very elegant and lovely. And I think it was Blockbuster, one of the big chains. Walmart. I don't remember which one it was, but one of the big chains was like, we're not going to carry the DVD with these images of people with marijuana cigarettes and marijuana leaves in their hands. So they very quickly, like right before they were about to go to print on it, very quickly had to, you know, Photoshop it, put a bunch of things in, and change it to a cover that I absolutely detest, which makes me angry every time I see it because it's perfectly all right for Steven Weber's character to be holding a gun.
Yeah.
But it's not okay for Alan Cumming to be holding a plant.
I know, and it's still here, and it's still like that. It's just everybody is blowing the little things out of proportion.
Well, you know, that really says something about the original movie and how it has shaped the thinking and the paradigm of our country and the world, of course, but on the reefer madness that continues today.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's something that Megan said earlier. I'd love to echo that as well. But you know, we've been talking a lot about legalization and pot and all that stuff and criminalization, I guess. The show isn't exactly like it's not exactly something to be afraid of for people that are listening. It's not so much that the show is pro pot as it is anti propaganda. It's anti disinformation, I should say. And the position that Kevin and I always take is that you know, it may or may not be good. You know that, but that's up for you to decide, not for some business interest, not for some government interest. That's you know, that's up to the individual to decide.
Exactly.
And you should be careful of that guy who stands behind that podium and drags out the flag and drags out Jesus and tells you your children are in trouble and that he has all the answers and you better listen to him, because that guy might have an agenda.
Yeah, you know, people don't realize it wasn't just the propagandists. It wasn't just Harry Anslinger back in those days. It was an actual church group that was doing this, and they shouldn't be involved in politics to begin with.
Well, it's way worse than that. Originally it was William Randolph Hearst, you know, who Citizen Kane is loosely based on.
Yes,
he owned just about every paper and magazine in the country.
You mean William Randolph Hearst?
What's that?
William Randolph Hearst.
William Randolph Hearst owned the Hearst Syndicate. He owned just about every paper in the country, every magazine, Good Housekeeping, Cosmopolitan. All these different. And every city had a Hearst newspaper, from San Francisco to Chicago to New York to everywhere.
Exactly.
And what was happening was, they were Popular Mechanics was touting hemp as the next billion-dollar crop.
Yes.
The next billion-dollar industry. And he had all these holdings. What he would do is he had all this timber land that he had, and he would cut down all the trees, make paper out of them, use them for his newspaper. So this became a threat, because trees take a long time to grow, whereas weed just crops up every year. You know, it grows like a weed.
And sometimes three times a year.
Exactly. And so he realized, I mean, Henry Ford was building a car made out of hemp. I mean, there were all these things that were about to happen. And Hearst was like, we've got to put an end to this. And so this guy basically took all this disinformation and started putting it in the newspapers. And then he brought that Mexican-sounding word and, you know, and tried to scare you that this Mexican loco killer weed is coming, you know, up across our borders and it's coming for your children. They just made up stories.
Yeah.
And he was sort of in collusion at the time with Lamont DuPont of DuPont Chemicals.
Yes.
Who was, I think he had an invention that he had a patent on called the decorticator.
Yes.
If I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Yes.
He wanted to retract. And then there was Andrew Mellon of Mellon Banks, who was their financier. So these three sort of got together and said, let's just scare the shit out of people, and, you know, and to, you know, make them think they're children, to make, you know, associated with Mexicans. Hearst had a hatred for Pancho Villa, because Pancho Villa had claimed some timberland that Hearst owned. And so the word marijuana was not really in the public lexicon in America until the 30s, until Hearst started putting it in the newspapers. Before that, they knew it as cannabis, and they knew it as hemp.
Yes.
And so he was like, let's give it the scary-sounding Mexican word and just scare the hell out of everybody. So that's what he did. And then the weirdest collusion of all was that Mellon, their financier, was, I think by marriage, married to Harry J. Anslinger's niece.
Yes, he was. Yeah, so one big happy family.
Yeah, so then Anslinger would run around quoting Hearst's newspapers, which were just a big lie, as they've said, well, here it says, and then, you know, in the journal, you know, in the fine newspapers of Mr. William Randolph Hearst, that this is a problem, and so they went all the way to Congress with this, which is where the tax act came from.
Yes,
and
they
there was
did.
A guy, there was one hero in all this. Can't remember his name to save my life at the moment, but I think it's Joseph something. But there was one guy. They sort of didn't invite the American Medical Association to come back to fight.
Yeah.
And there was one guy like raced down to Congress, and he was like, "Wait,
what are you doing?
I'm at the hearings. This has medical benefit, and it could be really helpful. And don't kill us with this. This could be very beneficial to people's health." And they literally turned to the guy and were like, if you're not here to help, you can just go home.
Yeah, there actually was only one section, one. I don't remember who the person was, but the Audubon Society also went, and there was one exemption made, and that was on sterilized
bird seed.
For the bird seed, because they literally said that the birds would not sing if they didn't have their hemp seed. So for many, many years, you could get...
True.
Yeah, you could get it. You could get sterilized hemp seed in hardware stores. It was even in mixes of bird feed and stuff.
Still is today.
Still is today. That's right. And but they had to be sterilized. That was the only difference. So the Audubon Society did get listened to. Other than that, you're right. They just shut everybody else out and passed it. And it you're absolutely correct in everything that you say. The bottom line was they were getting their competition to the DuPont's and Monsanto's synthetic fibers and the new oil coming in that the cars were going to be running on. It was the competition as well as the medical.
Well, the bottom line today.
And paper.
Is that we're going to be reaching a threshold of I forgot how many millions of people that will be have been arrested for marijuana.
Well, let's just talk about the economy very quickly because this is something really big in the media right now in the news. They did not do the bailout today, thank God. They're talking about banks crashing around the world and starvation and all sorts of things, and they're trying to blame it on ethanol, of course, and frankly, it's not. That now, of course, if they were to make ethanol out of hemp stock, there would be no reason to use corn, and there wouldn't be any issue to say that people can't get corn. Now, I have to also say, nobody's eating the corn that they're using for ethanol. You know, that might as well be feed corn. It doesn't matter what they use for that; they're not using people feed corn.
Well, you know, there is one historical example that that comes to mind in times of great crisis where. The laws were reversed. Was World War II when they introduced the Hemp for Victory campaign?
Exactly.
And they were like, "Oh, all the rules are suspended. Everybody grow marijuana. Everybody grow hemp, actually, because you know, we need it for parachutes and rope and all this other stuff." And so everybody was encouraged to, you know, for at least World War II. Mm-hmm. You might see something like that happen again.
That's what I'm hoping. You know, in order to finally get people to wake up and realize that not only, you know, we can talk all day about the propaganda and why they did it. The facts are it is the best fiber. It is the best thing for fuel. It's the best thing to put on your salad. It's the best thing for omegas. I just had Megan try the Living Harvest hemp milk that I have in my refrigerator, and you can buy it at Kroger's now.
It was good.
In the soy milk section, you can buy hemp milk. The seeds are grown in Canada and imported into Portland, and Living Harvest makes them. There's also Manitoba Organic out of Canada. Hemp milk is the best milk out there. No issues of lactose intolerance. It's the easiest digested protein in the vegetable community, and that alone could change things. So it really comes down to what do people want? Do they want to continue the downward spiral that we're in and hope that Obama can save us all? Maybe he can, but unless he looks and continues his what he says about alternative fuels and things like that, he's no different from anybody else. So I hope that, you know, we can have these changes and the paradigms shift eventually. But unfortunately, it's going to take a lot more chaos, I think, until that happens and until people realize, oh, wow, you mean banks are crashing? Oh, my God, food's becoming scarce, oil's becoming scarce. What do? We only have one alternative.
Tax it.
We all know what that is. Tax it. Besides taxing it and saving the deficit, use it for food, fiber, fuel, and everything else.
Can you imagine the tax revenue that would happen if marijuana were legalized and the guy that purportedly is standing on the street corner with the gun, you know, suddenly is out of a job?
Yeah.
I remember talking to mothers in Over the Rhine community.
Poor area of Cincinnati.
Yeah, and they said, Mr. Ryan, if they do what you say, these young bucks would have to go get a job.
Exactly right.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous, and that is truly the irony of where they called this original film Reefer Madness, because it is. The entire topic of today with then through today, the laws against it is madness.
Well, no theater is bringing a good thing to make people think.
Yes, as well as what they've done originally with the musical.
Oh, yes.
Period. What you guys did was brilliant, and I want you to know that because...
Well, thank you.
You know, we can all sit around and get high and go watch the original or watch the musical and have lots of fun, but truly, there really is a message, even without making a musical. Watching the film enough should get across to people's head that it's ridiculous. The film in and of itself is madness. The propaganda itself is madness, and keeping it outlawed and throwing people in jail for it, that in and of itself is madness. And that truly is the addiction that our country has, is keeping the madness going and keeping people in business and this out of business. And
frankly, we're not going to be able to afford it. I see the end in this madness.
I do too, because either we're going to destroy this planet in the process and everything that's on it, or we have to turn around and stop the madness.
Well, I see it from a different point of view. They're just not going to be able to afford this.
Whether it's financially or environmentally or anything else, they're not going to be able to afford to continue.
So, Dan, what's it going to take to have you drop by Cincinnati at the No Theater?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. Send me a plane ticket.
Well, you're going to New York, so, you know, you just stop by Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's it. Take a flight with a layover in Cincinnati. There you go.
A layover.
Well, I'll tell you, I want to keep Megan for a little bit longer, get a little bit more scoop on the No Theater itself, and again, some of the times and dates that they're doing. But I definitely want to thank you guys. And real quick, I don't want to leave this without, first of all, you telling us, before getting into this, your history in the business and who Kevin is. Because a lot of people don't realize this isn't just a bunch of guys that were stoners that went, let's make a musical. You guys have a history in this business. Kevin, as I'm sure most people aren't aware, is he still writing for Desperate Housewives?
Oh, no, that's long over.
That's over. Okay. But I know he was. He was.
He left Desperate Housewives and went to, actually, if you look at the episode, I'm not sure what episode it is. The episode, first season episode called Move On, I think there's a little bit of there's a little bit of the Five and Dime song in there at some point.
In Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, season one, there's an episode that features, like, I don't know, 9 or 10 seconds of somebody singing the song.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's kind of Kevin's very good at keeping the Reefer family together. He went ironically from Desperate Housewives to a show called Reaper.
he was on Reaper?
Yes.
Yeah, Reaper. He went from Reefer to Reaper. I can't even
say it. To the Reaper.
Yeah, he went to, and he since left that, and has a new show coming on. Well, it will have come on, I guess, by the time this comes out. It comes on October 5th. It starts on the CW called Valentine, which I wrote an episode of, which is actually shooting today.
I was going to say you're co-writing some stuff with him on that. And what is that about, the Valentine?
It's actually about the Greek gods of love continue to live amongst us in Los Angeles, and their job, the fates send them people who are in danger of soulmates who are in danger of falling out of love and for some reason, and the Greek gods have to infiltrate their lives and get them together somehow by the end of the episode.
So the Greek gods are now living in California.
They live on Mount Olympus, which is a gated community that actually exists on up on Laurel Canyon.
That is really funny. That's what funny. A great concept.
Well, Kevin created the show, and it's you'll see a lot of it. Christine Lakin, who was Joan of Arc in the Reefer movie, is one of the principal cast members. And you'll always see with Kevin's shows, you'll always see a bunch of Reefer connections. And in fact, my episode that's shooting now, it takes place at the university. It's about a couple that one goes away to college and the other one stays home. And the college is actually Fickman University, which is named, of course, after our director, Andy Fickman. You'll see little Reefer madnesses all over the place.
That's great. Well, you know, I think a lot of Hollywood does that, not necessarily with Reefer madness, but with Reefer period. You see little jokes here and there, and little things snuck in here and there.
Well, make sure you tell Kevin about Berkeley in the middle of October for Normal.
Absolutely.
Of course, now, you know, the week after the Normal Conference, we are having the Ohio Valley Reefer Cannabis Cup here in the Ohio area, which is a private
Cannabis Cup.
Private
wait
cannabis
a minute,
cup.
Wait a minute.
Did I say Cannabis
you
Cup?
You said Cannabis Cup.
Did I say
cup?
Cannabis
said
Cup?
Cannabis
Scratch
cup.
That.
Wait, get the High Times lawyers out.
I think I need to smoke a joint. I meant Ohio Valley Reefer Rumble. Did I actually say Cannabis Cup?
Yeah, you did.
This will be edited out later. This is going to be edited out later. Anyway, as I was saying, we have upcoming on October 25th the Ohio Valley Reefer Rumble, a private cannabis cup here in the Ohio area. So if either of you guys happen to be in the area, we'll make you celebrity VIPs, that's for sure.
Now we'll show the movie or the musical.
Well,
the movie or the musical.
Yeah, we can do that.
We might be able to have a little thing going.
Yeah, we can.
We'll have to talk to you about that.
You're getting me in that. For some reason, our friend, the feedback has come back.
Has it?
Yeah.
All righty. Well, we'll fix that real quick anyway. We're going to let you go because it is getting late on our end, and we want to make sure Megan gets home and gets to bed. But real quick, give us any information, your website for Reefer Madness, and anything else that you guys have that you want to plug.
Oh, good Lord, we're so awful about keeping it current. But it's the website's www.reefermadness.org. Because somebody's been sitting on ReeferMadness.com for about 10 years. ReeferMadness.org is the website. And there's a Joe's Pub concert coming up, which is fun if you're in the New York area. And the album's coming out, so
and
go
that's
get that.
When is the album coming out?
October 28th, I believe.
October 28th, so in just a few weeks.
Just
wonderful.
A few weeks, you'll be able to get that out. Our fans have been clamoring it for quite some time, and we actually wound up sort of pursuing it ourselves, which was a logistical nightmare, but it's finally coming out.
That's good. I'm very, very proud of what you guys have done. As I said, I think it's a great thing that you've done, and
the more you permeate, you know, the public's awareness about the other side of things. I think, you know, you're always dealing, it's an uphill battle because you're always dealing with an awful lot of money and interest on the other side.
Absolutely.
So I think the more you tell people what the truth is, or at least say, hey, there's another version of what the truth is.
Absolutely.
You know, then you go think for yourself. I think that's important for artists to do, and I'm glad it's happening in Cincinnati.
I am too. You know, I'm going to say something that's going to be edited out later, but if you remember, we met at the DPA conference 3 years ago, and I was at that time fighting to get Hemp Rock Radio back on a station here in Cincinnati that I had been on for 8 years through the 90s, Hemp Rock Radio. And I won't go into that at all except to say that it was dirty politics at the station. Myself and numerous other programs lost our shows fighting the nonprofit corruption that went on. And eventually, I finally said the hell with it, and I'm building the WEED Radio Network. Just as you've had issues getting this CD going, I've had issues getting this thing going with the mix. And as you know, you've experienced a little bit of the feedback. We're having some recording issues. But this is something that I've been trying to get going for a long time. The only difference is that I've now turned it also into the WEED Radio Network, which is more than just Hemp Rock Radio. It will be Rob's show, many other types of shows at all. Friendly, of course, to the WEED concept. And so I thank you for being a part of this.
Well, these things are always a labor of love. It shows, and congratulations to you.
So I want to thank you, even though it's been 3 years since we met. I wanted to interview you then, and unfortunately it didn't happen, and now it actually worked out better that we have a production Cincinnati to discuss it. And I thank you.
To be a part of it.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you guys could be a part of it. I thank you. And as awesome. I said, that'll be edited out later. Maybe not. We'll see.
Right.
But I definitely want to thank you again. This is Dan Studney, co-producer, co-writer of Reefer Madness, the musical. And we thank you very, very much for standing by and helping us get through this recording, Dan.
All right, thank you, Lynn.
And I'm sure Rob would like to say something. Goodbye or whatever.
Nice talking with you, Dan. I have to really commend the No Theater. They took your production and put an awful lot of energy into it, and the crowd really enjoyed it. So good job, both of you.
Absolutely.
Yes, congratulations, Megan.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for helping us out, too, on all ends. So.
Well, Dan, you have a friendly evening back there in the West Coast, and we thank you very, very much for this evening.
Bye-bye.
All righty, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Again, that was Dan Studney from the original Reefer Madness, the musical, online from California. And I want to finish up here in the studio with Megan
Venzin.
I'm going to get that right, Venzin. And first of all, I want to thank you for coming up from the downtown No Theater here in Cincinnati. Before we do anything, I want to let the audience know, not to coin a pun, what exactly is the No Theater?
Well, the No Theater is a company, as we said earlier, it's been around for about 11 years. And it started off, it was founded by Jay Caligayan, who is still with us today. He is the founder, and he's also now our executive director of development, so he does all of our fundraising. But he just started it out. He was a Xavier student. He was a nursing student, and he went into nursing, and it didn't really give him the kicks that he liked. So he got together with some friends who were into acting that he had met when he was in school, and he put together the No Theater Tribe, which was just a small band of actors who would travel around pretty much in any space that they could get and put on shows that were provocative, the same kind of idea here. He said they used to be able to travel with everything in a trunk.
Wow.
Everything they owned was in a trunk. They could bring that everywhere. He said that he remembers for the first time they got paid, they made $100 to do a show at Joseph Beth. So it's come a long way since then, and we're no longer the No Theater Tribe because we have a permanent space at 1120 Jackson Street.
Tribe meaning traveling.
Yeah.
Now you're just settled.
Now we're settled. We are sedentary.
So that's a permanent home for the No Theater.
It is, yes. Oh, we actually,
congratulations.
The building was, we had a investor.
That's
so
wonderful.
It's great.
So now explain to everybody where that is downtown in the downtown area.
It is right between Walnut and Vine off of Central Parkway. It's a little one-way road by the Art Academy.
Jackson,
so.
Right?
Yeah, Jackson Street.
Yeah,
yes.
We've got a new mural on the wall.
That mural looks really good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That
we got some
awesome.
Artists to do it during the Fringe Festival this past year. So
yeah. Now you guys do more than productions like this. Last week, in between the two, the opening of Reefer Madness musical and the reopening, you guys were part of the Midpoint Music Festival, correct?
Yeah. We've hosted that event for the last 3 years, ever since we've had our permanent spot, and it's just been a good chance to get people in the doors. Plus, we all get to hang out and listen to great music. So it's
absolutely,
been a lot of
yeah. Because you actually have two floors. You've got a bar situation going that you're allowed to serve drinks
yeah.
when you're open.
That's called our underground stage, and we have an events-based license. So pending. Yeah, I mean, we can do private parties if we want to hang out, but most of the time...
You never know.
Yeah, most of the time, we if we have an event, we'll keep that open, and we can stay open almost as late as the other bars in town.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
So now that's what you use. That's the part that you use for the midpoint.
No, we actually had a stage upstairs as well.
Oh.
We did. You would not have recognized the place. We took the entire
wow.
set down. Every chair was taken out of the theater. We had an open floor, so the capacity was around 400.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
400?
Yeah, we could fit 400 people up there after we took down the risers and everything.
That's
else.
Great. So now I'm curious, who was the special secret band on
yeah,
Saturday
who was
night?
That?
No one knew who they
Nobody
were.
Nobody even knew who they were.
Were they
any good?
They had great energy, but I think it kind of hurt them because the people... We had a
so
line.
Who were they?
They were called Radio 4 from Brooklyn, and they're just
Radio
they're
4.
An indie band, and they had come up, and I think that the way that it was marketed, so many people expected it to be someone that they knew, so we had about 200 people waiting outside in a line.
Well, the trick worked anyway.
Yeah, and once they got up there, they were angry. I mean, we had people leaving just because they didn't know who
my.
It was, so sometimes I kind of wonder if there maybe...
It was a downfall. Well,
yeah.
You know, they did it. It was advertised. It was an indie band, so
and
I'm not sure who people would think a big indie band is.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who the indie bands are unless they listen to indie radio.
Exactly.
You know, I didn't go to Midpoint, but I happened to be going through the city at that time, and I just out of curiosity, went by the No Theater, and you guys had a line down the block.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
probably what it was for. The people who stayed loved it. It was just the people who were
Who's
bitter.
Brooklyn Bar?
Yeah, who are these people? Yeah, I mean, it was a good show, so I think I definitely thought that the efforts of City Beat, I thought it was super cool because it got
yeah.
so many people in, and it got people really excited. So.
Well, that's good. Well, definitely, I'm sure, gave them some people to listen to them that might not have been at the show.
Yeah, that's what Midpoint's about. If you
yeah.
go to Midpoint thinking you're going to see big names, you're at the wrong festival. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's for regional, local acts, things like that, and to push those kind of people and the indie groups, exactly. Rob
so what
is
else
holding.
Is coming up at the No Theater, by the way?
Well, we've got, on October 11th, we've got a world premiere by Sean Christopher Lewis called Militant Language, A Play with Sand, and it is about a war. Jason Bruffy, who I mentioned earlier, is our artistic director, and he had a really great quote about it. He said, "It's not so much a play about war as it is a play about soldiers." And it's more about the relationships between soldiers as they're learning to work together in hard times. And it is set during the Iraq War, so it is another current hotbed, which we thought, although Reefer is pure fun and entertainment, this is a nice segue into something else that is on everyone's minds right
yeah.
now.
I'm looking here that starting November 29th through the 27th of December, you have a Very Merry Unauthorized Children's Scientology pageant.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
What?
No Theater is doing a children's show, which is kind of weird because usually we forbid
Unauthorized
children.
Unauthorized Scientology?
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's a piece by Kyle Jarrow, who's an up-and-coming artist in the New York scene. He's done a lot of off-Broadway. He just finished a show called Hostage Song. It's a two-person cast, and it's a musical, and they do the entire show blindfolded.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so he's really funky. He's also, he plays in a couple indie rock bands. He's
very
part
cool.
of the fantastic, or the Fabulous Entourage. That's the name of the band.
Wonderful,
so
wonderful.
He's got a big name for himself.
So you guys do different stuff every couple of months. You have a different production coming and going, and even overlapping sometimes then.
Yeah, yeah. This is the first time we're doing a schedule in theater when we got two shows running at the same time. It's called In Repertory. So we're going to have days where we'll do Reefer Madness in the afternoon and Militant Language at night. And they've done a great job of building the sets so that they fit on top of each other.
That's great.
It's, it's the craziest thing if you come in and see it.
That's great.
Because you got a completely different landscape in 30 minutes after changeover. So it's really cool.
Well, that's important. Changing of sets is very important to make it quick.
Yeah, it has to be on those days with the double feature. Yeah. So
now I know that for I believe all of the shows for a while are getting discounted because you had a major fund, not a fundraiser, but a major donator to the No Theater to help lower
your
cost.
We're looking at it like a partnership a little bit more than just a strict donation. But it's the Carolyn and Ralph V. Hale Jr. U.S. Bank Foundation, who are pretty well known for their contribution to other arts organizations in the the state, and particularly in Cincinnati, and they helped us out. They were our big underwriter, so we were able to cut our ticket prices in half. They used to be around about 20 to 25 depending on what night you came, and now all of our tickets have a flat ticket price of $12. So
that's wonderful.
Same price of going to a movie.
Yeah, and that's for all the shows, correct?
That's for everything this season. Yeah.
Everything this season.
That's going to be through May. So.
Through May. That's wonderful that they would do something like that and help offset your costs so to try to get more people in down to watch the shows. That's great.
Yeah, and it's great now. I mean, especially with the economy the way it is, it's
absolutely
good to see that people are still interested in putting money into the arts. But I guess it's paying off more if the stock market's not going to do anything. I mean, might as well give it to somebody who needs it.
That's exactly right. Well, to help with a little bit of cost for Hemp Rockers, we want to remind everybody if between now and the end of the run for just Reefer Madness, this is not for any other show at the No Theater, it is only for the Reefer Madness shows. Anytime that a Hemp Rocker goes with the purchase of your ticket for $12, when you go to the bar on the first floor, the No Theater is donating one drink to anybody that comes in and says they're a Hemp Rocker, and whether they heard it here on the show or saw it on the flyers or on the websites or on heard it on the Hemp Line. However you hear about it, let the bartender know that you're with Hemp Rock and you'll get your one free drink at the show.
And
they'll hook you up and they'll make sure that you guys have a wonderful time.
But
and,
make sure you bring a friend.
Oh, absolutely. Bring all of your friends.
That's right.
Bring all
I
your friends.
I want to see those reefer roaches at the No Theater.
Absolutely.
For this show and the rest of them.
Now, I'll tell you, Megan, I'm going to throw an even better thing in. I'm going to let listeners know and people know that are Hemp Rockers that if they go to the No Theater and get a $12 ticket and watch the show Reefer Madness the Musical just this once with Reefer Madness the Musical, no other show, if they bring their Reefer Madness ticket from the No Theater out to the Ohio Valley Reefer Rumble and have their reservation number and come in to the event, with that ticket, they will get $5 off their purchase price of their judge pass at the Ohio Valley Reefer
great.
Rumble.
You get a free drink and $5 off the Reefer Rumble.
That's right. That's right. Now, of course, now after the 25th at the No Theater, you guys are still for another week or two performing Reefer Madness. It won't count after that. So if you want to get that $5 off at the Reefer Rumble this year, you have to go to the Reefer Madness before October 25th so you have that No Theater ticket from Reefer Madness in your hand when you come to the door.
Yeah, you can still get your drink through November 14th. Though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, very quickly, give the website address and any phone numbers that you can give out for people to contact.
Okay. If you're interested in getting tickets, we have a system up now that you can get them online, and that's at www.notheaterwithanre.com. And then you can also give us a call at 513-300-KNOW. That's 5669 for all you BlackBerry users. And you can get in touch with us there, and we'll hook you up with some tickets.
I love that you did that because, you know, a lot of people don't realize. For instance, the Hemp Rock Hemp Line is 684 Hemp.
Mm-hmm.
For those that have the BlackBerries and the phones that don't have the old-style telephone pads and they have the little keyboards, they don't know what to dial.
Exactly.
So you do now have to explain the number.
Yeah, we have to do that now. So
that was a flaw in the design of some of the cell phones.
And people are still eating those BlackBerries up. It's just...
And I was told yesterday they're junk by somebody who has one, not to trash BlackBerries. I don't have one. It's not about that. But I must say, for anybody that's in the design of cell phones that happens to listen to this show, fix it. Because people like us that have words for our phone numbers, it's not working, guys. We don't want to tell the number. We just want to tell the word.
Exactly.
So, well, Megan, thank you so much first of all, for your patience in getting show finally recorded. For those that don't know, Hemp Rock Studios was down for a week in the Cincinnati Electric out.
Hurricane Ike rolled through.
Hurricane Ike blew through the Hemp Rock Studios and knocked a tree down on top of a transformer. So we're lucky to even have electric for this recording. So thank you for your patience and coming into the studios with us. And we're going to make sure that we get some people down there for you.
Come see the show. It's fun.
Absolutely. And I've been just to the rehearsal premiere, and I want to come back again before it's over. And so I will be making sure that we get some Hemp Rockers down there as well. Rob, thanks for helping out with everything. And give yourselves a plug for what you're doing.
Okay. I'd like to make sure you all call your state senators and support Senate Bill 343. This is a medical marijuana bill that has been introduced here into Ohio. Let me just give you guys a little bit of history. There was three states in 1996 that passed medical marijuana laws. It was California, Arizona, and actually Ohio. But in 1997, Governor Voinovich made it his priority bill to rescind that. So this is now 12 years later, or it's going to be 12 years later, and it's time that we brought medical marijuana here to Ohio. So call up your state senator and say, I support Senate Bill 343. When are you going to pass it?
Absolutely. Okay. And bug them. You know, there's some people, I'm not going to say who, but there's some people, as you know, Rob, that are in this movement for the medical of use of marijuana that are afraid to have people call their senators and, oh, no, don't bother them. You might piss them off. You know what? Piss off your legislators. That's what
I say. No. That's a great misunderstanding.
Now, wait a minute. Let me finish.
You've got to talk to your senators.
Let me finish. Piss them off in the sense of get them riled so they realize there's people listening and people watching them, so maybe they will get out of the madness of this.
Let me tell you something about politics, all right? We had a bunch of congressmen here veto or say no to this bailout bill. You know how many people called those congressmen?
Millions.
No. Locally, 125 people called our local congressman.
Really?
And that's what they went on. So calls to your state senators
works.
Are very, very powerful.
Yeah, let me rephrase it. I don't mean to literally piss them off. What I mean is burn their phones up. Let them know you exist. Let them know you're out there and you want this bill passed. Whether it's this bill or any other thing that you feel strongly about, let the legislators know. I'll be honest with you, our own experience with city council is it doesn't matter how nice we are to them, they don't like hearing from us, and it's going to piss them off anyway when you do bug them.
Well, we've got to invite them to the No Theater.
I think we should do that, but my point is don't not call them because they might say they don't want to hear from you. It's really their job, folks. If they don't like hearing from you, tough. Let them get out of the job that they're in, and we'll get somebody else in to do the job. So that's what I mean by when I say piss them off. I don't mean really piss them off, because no matter what you do, just calling them is going to piss them off.
I'll make
the call and tell them that you want change.
I'll use a different term.
Okay?
Give them some backbone.
There you go.
Because these politicians, they're scared. They don't know. They're not sure.
Or they do what their party line tells them to do.
When they hear callers say, yes, my mother, my father, my grandmother, my uncle went through chemo and used marijuana, you know, that gives them courage.
Yeah. A lot, they don't know that the people want to know this. They don't know that people want to change this. So you have to let them know. You have to call them. And even if it pisses them off, you know, do your citizen's duty and let them know what you want them to do.
And here's the number to call, okay? Up in Columbus, it's 614-466-4900. And ask the clerk to connect you with your senator. They'll just probably ask you your zip code and ask them to support Senate Bill 343.
Absolutely. Well, thank you both for joining with Hemp Rock Radio today. It's been a pleasure, as well as Dan Studney, who's no longer on the line. For those that don't know, you can go to Hemp Rock at www.hemprock.com. For the rest, of course, it's the weedradionetwork.com. But if you're listening to this radio show, you probably know that already. In the meantime, I am the Happy Hemptress, voice of the resistance, and Megan
Venzin.
Venzin. I keep wanting to go with Zen first, but it's Venzin from the No Theater. Thank you very, very much. And Rob Ryan from the Ohio Patient Action Network. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we'll check back with you at the next Hemp Rock Radio show. Thanks and have a hempy day.
goes by, it might seem a day.
If a day goes by, it could take a year. And it's clear that people here at the Buzzers come
good night until the morning comes.
Waiting for your business, start on carnival. Take a one-way ticket to the pumpkin town.
So come on, Jimmy, come on, get me
right. What a great song. That's another song off of the Reefer Madness, the musical. Really got a great beat. I love it. It's a good dancing song. And don't forget, like Dan said, you can get that CD. It's coming out soon, along with the DVD as well. Go to www.reefermadness.org. Again, that's reefermadness.org. And you can get the original score and the original DVD with the original show that No Theater is producing. And performing. So in the whole show, don't forget, folks, Reefer Madness the musical down at the No Theater is fantastic, as you just heard from Dan Studney, Megan Benzin, and Rob Ryan and myself in this really, what I think is a really great and a lot of fun interview that we did. You definitely want to come down to the No Theater. They're there through November 14th with Reefer Madness the musical. All three of those songs that you heard throughout the show, of course, are part of it, as well as many, many more. And don't forget, if you come in and you get your ticket and you tell the bartender that you are a hemp rocker, you'll get a free drink on the No Theater. Also, if you do go to the event of Reefer Madness the musical before the Reefer Rumble coming up on October 25th, and you bring your Reefer Madness ticket, not any No Theater ticket, just the Reefer Madness No Theater ticket, to the door with your reservation number at the Reefer Rumble this year, you can save $5 on your regular ticket for judging. Also, on November 9th, Sunday afternoon for the 4 o'clock matinee, Hemp Rock Radio and the Ohio Patient Network, myself and Rob Ryan, are hosting a special day of Reefer Madness at the Reefer Madness the Musical. But you have to get your tickets in advance, and you want to do that either at thenotheater.com, and that is with K-N-O-W-T-H-E-A-T-R-E. The English way, not E-R, notheater.com. Also, aside from the website, you can also call them at 513-300-NO. Again, that's K-N-O-W. And as Megan said, for you BlackBerry users out there, that's 5669. So don't forget, again, that's November 9th for the 4 o'clock matinee, a special hosting with Hemp Rock and the Ohio Patient Network. And get your tickets in advance. And be there, because it's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, you'll get that free drink. But now, that you know, go any other night. If you can't make it on November 9th, just get there before it's over on November 14th and check out the Reefer Madness the Musical. And, again, I definitely want to thank Megan Benson and Dan Studney out in California and Rob Ryan for joining me in that interview and having a lot of fun. Stay tuned for more Hemp Rock Radio shows as well as other shows coming to the WEED Radio Network. And everybody, have a great and hempy day.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Reefer Roach, how do you respond when police ask for consent to search your vehicle?
Well, I do just as Nancy Reagan would do. Just say no.
You've been listening to Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, voice of the resistance. Keep up with Hemp Rock here on the web and at HempRock.com or call the Hemp Rock Hemp line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
Sam, we've us hot smokers alone, Uncle Sam. We've us hot smokers alone, Uncle Sam.
Hemp Rock Radio is a Hemp Rock production and a member of the WEED Radio Network. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and the WEED.
Uncle Sam.